Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. It is the end of the week here on Political Coffee. You know what that means. It means it's Freedom Friday, where I, as your very humble radio talk show host, give you the freedom, extend it to you magnanimously, because I am a benevolent dictator on this show. I'm in a good mood this morning, folks. That's obvious. Anyways, Freedom Friday, that's where I extend to you the opportunity to call and talk about anything you want to talk about politically. Doesn't have to be anything, well, that is on my plate. Anything. 503-589-1220. It's got to be political, though, and you got to keep it clean. Not that anybody who really calls this show doesn't. But it's just kind of the rules of the road. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Well, 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 well. So what did the Oregon legislature do last night? Well, I was having dinner with a lovely young lady and talking politics, of course. And by golly, across my phone came the knowledge that the Democrats had just passed out of the Senate natural environment, whatever the heck committee it is, by a 3-2 vote, which is how you do it, because you stack the committee. I mean, that's what the majority party gets to do. They just voted out the 177-page cap and trade bill. And they voted it from the committee down to the Ways and Means Committee, because it has a massive fiscal impact. Okay. The House Democrats voted a companion bill, which is really kind of the placeholder in case this one dies. I mean, you always have two. You have one in the House, you have one in the Senate, so that you can, and they have similar relating clauses. That's a thing that we can talk about later. At any rate, they voted theirs. In fact, the House members on that committee, the Republicans, got up and walked out. Good for them. And what did they do? Well, they voted it not down to Ways and Means Committee, but rather down to the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee is where you park bills that you want to use later on, because they're always alive, because the Rules Committee is the very last committee in both the House and the Senate that stays open. Because typically, the way it works, folks, in a legislative session, what you do is you start closing down committees as you go through the session, because there's a timeline, there's a whole series of things that need to happen. Now, you do that over time, but the Rules Committee stays open at the very end. And believe me, folks, I have seen when a bill needs to get moved that is a priority of the speaker or the governor or whatever, man, they move heaven and earth. And you know, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they get a bill back and amendments, and you hold a quick hearing, which nobody has an opportunity to read, like they did the 177-page amendment, the gut and stuff, which is the cap and trade bill, because they introduced the amendments to the committee late in the afternoon, and then the next day you got to vote on it. You don't have time to read that stuff. Now, all the stories today talk about how it incorporates some of the suggestions from Timber Unity about planting trees. That's all wonderful. And how they're going to help to exempt some. And believe me, some lawmakers got their areas carved out of this thing, at least in the rural areas, for a little bit longer before it comes in and destroys your economy. Now, I can tell you that they adopted those amendments, and they did it because some Republican was asking for it. So do you think they bought that Republican's vote? We're going to go through, by the way, what's on my list today is to talk about this a little bit more in depth. But the bottom line is they sent the worst of the worst got sent to Ways and Means, where it's going to sit there as they figure out how big the fiscal impact is and how many employees you got to have to implement this thing, how big the new state agency is, which just puts more money in the Democrats' pockets because it creates more union employees who then give their union dues to Democrats. See how that works? So anyway, it's going to sit in Ways and Means until they decide that they're going to pass it out. Now, again, here's the choice of the Democrats, folks. This is what it is. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about every other bill that is related to this one. In fact, there's a whole list of bills that are still alive and those that are dying and dead. Plus, there's another story, I can't let this go. How bad is it when you get a story on Liberal Coin 6 TV that says the Massachusetts Institute for Technology says that this voting application that Oregon, West Virginia, Utah, and the city of Denver have adopted, that hackers can alter the ballots? That's the headline on Coin 6. MIT, hackers could alter ballots from Oregon voting app. It's so bad that you've got Ron Wyden, who is New York's third senator, because he's not ours. Ron Wyden has asked the Oregon Secretary of State, Republican Bev Clarno, to warn counties about this app and other forms of internet voting. And then the next statement in Liberal Coin 6 article is, experts in election security are against submitting ballots over the internet. Yeah, duh. But Kate Brown and the Democrats are full speed ahead on this thing, folks. That's how bad it is. Anyway, all of the bills, the Corvallis Gazette Times, and by the way, you can see this story if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. The Oregon Legislature, week number two. What's still moving and what's been spiked or killed, folks? Okay? All of this is what we're going to talk about today. Plus, there's some fun stuff on Breitbart. We're going to get to all of that today, but it is Freedom Friday. That means you can call and talk about whatever you want to talk about today. So it's easy. You just pick up the phone. Call me. I'll put you on the air. 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. And in the spirit of having, I mean, look, you know, the heavy-handed tyrannical nature of the Democrats just never ceases. I mean, that's why I call them regressive totalitarian Marxists, right? Well, you know, you got to poke a little fun at these people in the midst of what they're trying to do to destroy our lives and our liberty and everything that the founders believed in. Yeah, and that's what ultimately their goal is here. But that's why we call them regressive totalitarian Marxists, because that's what they are. But you still have to poke a little fun at things. You have to have a little bit of fun. And the Babylon Bee, we're gonna share with you a few stories from the Babylon Bee, a few headlines, and we'll get into all of that. But I want to remind you that, friends, if, you know, today, by the way, is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. I wasn't going to let that go, you know. No. In fact, I got a quick story about that for my friend, the driveway stalker, but I got to finish this, okay? Valentine's Day, do something special for someone significant in your life. Seriously, do something very special for them. What would that be? Well, how about if you hire a limousine? It's not too late, folks. Diamond Royalty Rides, a great Salem company. They advertise on this radio station. Even more importantly, they help you make somebody else feel special. Check out their website, diamondroyaltyrides.com. It's not too late. Book a limo. It's Valentine's Day, for goodness sake. Make somebody feel special. Now, I alluded to this, so I got to say it now since I opened my yap and I died. So I'm talking to my friend, the driveway stalker. The driveway stalker, I said, so what are you doing for your girlfriend for Valentine's Day? And he goes, nothing. I said, what? He said, yeah, nothing. I said, come on, you got to be kidding me. He goes, no, she hates Valentine's Day. She thinks it's nothing more than a corporate day to make a bunch of money on, you know, hiking the price of this and that and everything, roses and candies. And she doesn't want it. She wants nothing from me. And I said, you got to be kidding me. She goes, no, she's serious. I don't have to do anything. And my first offhand comment was, you lucky dog. No, just kidding. No, really, it was, I don't get that. I mean, you could, if that's your reasoning, your rationale, you could say it about anything. anything that we as people think is good or hold dear. Christmas. You want to talk about commercial? Valentine's Day, it doesn't hold a candle to Christmas. Thanksgiving. I mean, just go right on Easter, for goodness sake. I don't know. I mean, to me, folks, look, to each his own. But I'm telling you, I mean, Valentine's Day is a wonderful opportunity for you to express feelings of love and caring and goodness to someone who is significant in your life. It could be your mom. It could be your grandmother. Seriously. It could be someone else in your life. You know, it's a wonderful day to do that. We should celebrate that, don't you? I mean, there's nothing wrong with spending a little of your hard-earned cash to make people feel good about themselves. So I go back to Diamond Royalty Rides. That's one of the ways you can do that. All right, the Babylon Bee, folks. If you don't know what the Babylon Bee is, and by the way, this is the current edition sent to me by an unnamed state employee who shall never be named on this show. Now, it's satire, folks. But it's really good satire for speaking of Valentine's Day, if you go to their Lace, it's BabylonBee.com, okay? And it's all satire. Now, it's Christian satire, okay? All right? And it's the Real Housewives of the Babylon Bee. Talk about a reality show. It's a podcast that they have. And then they have the Song of Solomon Sweetheart Candles Now available. And it's things like, your breasts equal fawns. These are all Bible verses, folks. A Song of Solomon, which is a pretty risque, you know, part of the Bible. Just kidding. It's really meant for what it should be, and that's the love between a husband and a wife. Hey, Tower Neck, you've got goat hair. Your teeth are sheep. All right. So they poke fun. So they create these fake headlines. And you know what? If you don't have a sense of humor, and the left doesn't, because they regularly go after the Babylon Bee. One of their headlines is, vote for Bloomberg. This article was definitely not paid for by Mike Bloomberg. As you know, he's buying his way into that. Here's another one. How about woman achieves immortality after falling into a vat of essential oils? Now, what's wrong with essential oils? I take CBD products, folks, because they work for me. I do. That's an essential oil. I also used to be a peppermint farmer, and we used to grow essential oils. And believe me, peppermint oil is an essential oil. Anyway, here's another one. Bloomberg gives $1 billion to Bernie Sanders, causing him harm or causing him to destroy himself. You got to love the Babylon Bee, folks. It's the latest edition. When we come back, your phone calls. It's Freedom Friday. I'm in a good mood. Isn't that good? Especially after this 177-page economy-destroying bill the Democrats passed last night. Yikes! In a moment, 6:20.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. This segment of the show is brought to you by Eric Azor from Righteous Renovations. Check out his website, righteousrenovations.com. You know, there's a lot of contractors out there, and maybe some of them don't do as good a job as others. But somebody who holds himself to a very high standard is Eric Azor. And he does, folks. I mean, again, he's not afraid to put his name, his belief, his faith on the line. So I put the word righteous, renovations, in the name of his company. It ought to give you, inspire you to have a little bit of confidence that, you know, maybe this is somebody you should talk to if you're considering, you know, maybe a deck replacing a deck, fixing, maybe remodeling a kitchen or a bathroom. He can help you with all of that. Why don't you give him a call? Eric Azor, 503-341-3816. 503-341-3816. Or check out his website with lots of great testimonials. RighteousRenovations.com. To the phones on Freedom Friday, 503-589-1220. You can call and talk about anything political you want to talk about today. So we will go to Art. Art, good morning, friend. How are you, and what say you on Freedom Friday?
Happy Valentine's Day, Jeff.
Same to you, buddy.
Friday. And, well, I got a couple things on my mind. First of all, Jeff, why is it that other entities that are going to be affected by this cap and tax scam are not being more vocal, or at least as vocal as Timber Unity? For instance, the farmers groups, you got to be involved in some farmers group. How come you guys aren't out there raising holy hell? And how come the construction people are not raising holy hell about, you know, the cost of driving concrete trucks, et cetera, et cetera? How come the small businesses are not saying, hey, how come we aren't a part of this narrative? Because it isn't all about timber. It is about all of us. And so I'm really concerned about that, Jeff. The narrative is by our side. Is not being complete and as loud as it should be. I know I'm actively working with the group I belong with vending and stuff like that, to be more vocal, but we need to push the narrative on this. That's my first comment, Jeff. Can you explain?
Well, so let me address it, okay? So the reality is say the Oregon Farm Bureau is opposed to cap and trade. They've come out very strongly in that regard. Are farmers holding rallies independent of Timber Unity? No, we're actually holding rallies with Timber Unity. There was a lot of farmers there, a lot of farm tractors and so forth that were at that particular rally. Now, you do have a good point in that there are other organizations like Construction, Association of Oregon Contractors, the aggregate producers, which are the concrete people, okay, they're not holding independent rallies. And frankly, I didn't see a lot of them joining with us. I agree with you. I think they need to be a lot more vocal in their opposition, and they ought to be working with us in a much more vocal manner. So, you know, I think you have a valid point there. I think they need to. And I think that if there's anybody listening to you and I have this conversation right now that belongs to one of those groups, you need to be calling your association president or your lobbyist, whoever's at the Capitol, and say, all right, we need to ramp it up here. Okay. Cause that's the only way that'll happen. And you know that because of your years of advocacy in the Blind Commission.
Well, absolutely, Jeff. And I think the Republican Party should be also being more vocal about the other groups that are, you know, obsessed with how bad this is going to be, because they are part of the main narrative, as you know, and they're the ones who are fighting for us. And so they need to communicate more, and not allow Kate Brown and the rest of them to control the narrative like this was only about timber. Because I think it's hurting our cause. And
no, you're right, and it should be broader than that. I mean, this is why Republicans fail. And I'm going to be honest with you, Art, is because they don't know how to emotionalize the messaging on this stuff. What everybody needs to understand is this: like the hidden sales tax that Democrats passed, it is just another way of making it impossible for you to live the American dream. You're not. It's just going to raise your cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's what we have to get. And we have to do that with emotional stories. And that's because Republicans can't do it. That's the purpose of this show, is to help give people the tools to be able to do that. And you're right. I don't disagree with you, Art.
Well, and that's an absolute. And then one more thing that I wanted to cover today, Jeff, you have to be absolutely ecstatic about the recent poll that came out about, are you better off than you were, a year ago, 2 years ago? And there was over 60% of the people who said, yes, I am. Now, obviously, there was a high Republican, yeah, I'm better off, 89%. But, the Democrats was only 29%. But we need to show, now see, the reason why only 29% of the Democrats are not better off is because of their total economy ruining practices. And all you got to do is point out to the states like New York, California, where the libs are there, and they can't be better off because of the taxes and the fees and all the crap that they introduce into those different states.
Well, and the fruit of that is just looking at how people are fleeing those high tax states. The data is clear and it is unmistakable, Art, and you're so right. But they're fleeing those high tax states and Democrat liberal run cities, including Portland, because they can't live there. They can't afford to live there, and they don't like what's going on. They don't like being this lady I had dinner with last night works in downtown Portland. She is very careful about where she walks because of the homeless issue. Dangerous thing. Art, thanks, brother. I got to let you go at 6:30 in the morning. Folks, it's Freedom Friday. We'll be right back in a moment. Don't go away.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 24 minutes to the top of the hour. It's Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about anything politically you want to talk about at all. It's all on the table today. And it's easy. You just pick up the phone, 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Use it. Or you can just send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am, like Corby did. Remember the story I just told you about my friend, the driveway stalker, his girlfriend not liking Valentine's Day? Well, here's what Corby says. He says, good morning, Jeff. By the way, happy Valentine's Day to you all. He says, morning, Jeff. My wife doesn't like Valentine's Day either because of the commercialization of it. Besides, since I'm always such a joy to be around, every day is like Valentine's Day. Oh, Corby. Corby, Corby, Corby. Something that's not so funny is another email from one of our regular listeners who's been involved in politics in Oregon a long time. Shall also go unnamed. A little bit of Oregon's history. In fact, one of the things that this person does is send me emails about Oregon's history, reminding me of things that I recall from a long time ago. So here's one of them. Governor Neil Goldschmidt passed an executive order, wrote an executive order, giving special rights to homosexuals. The conservative Oregon Citizens Alliance ran an initiative to not allow such abnormal behavior, and it passed. So why does the Republican Party sit back and allow the sodomites to rule? Then we had some GOP attorneys that would donate their time. Well, okay. So this is an interesting thing about the Republican Party, folks, is very pro-life. And there's some wonderful changes coming to this radio station that are about pro-life issues and so forth. And I'm not going to get ahead of that, but just stay tuned for some really cool things happening here. I'm going to tease you with that. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm just going to tease you with it. All right? So look at the number of Republicans that are pro-abortion. Now, it didn't used to be like that. Look at the number of Republicans that are in power that are pro-gay marriage. Didn't used to be like that. The culture has changed. And people like Neil Goldschmidt advanced that agenda. Now, this bit of Oregon history is important in the context that you need to understand that these people have been doing this a very, very long time, and they don't ever stop, and they don't give up. And the old saying about you give them an inch, they take a mile, that is precisely what's occurring here. Now, you can use any number of monikers to describe this, death by a thousand cuts, whatever. It's true. You see, Neil Goldschmidt, folks, did this back in the 70s. Okay? Now, they're not going to stop. You see, it's gay marriage, right? Then it was the big rage, of course, is transgenderism now. And for those of you, by the way, that showed up at the war room yesterday, Oregon Citizen Lobby, thank you. I did not, because I got diverted because of an issue with the charter school that I helped found and that I lead to this day. But I'm thankful and grateful to all of you who did. I'm sorry I couldn't make it. I was literally blocks from the Capitol when I got called and said, hey, you got to come meet with us. So I will be there next week, and I hope that you are too, because you're making a difference. Believe me, you're making a difference. So I share that with you because all I'm going to say is that the issue I had to deal with was one that is a long simmering regressive totalitarian Marxist idea. Like this one that Neil Goldschmidt back in the 70s was trying to radically transform America. Now, what's it going to be next? I'm quite serious now. What's next? Is it we have to allow underage sex? You know, for a long time, there has been this organization called the NAMBLA. For those of you who know, that's the North American Man-Boy Love Association. Homosexual love between grown men and boys. That's what they advocate for. How long until that, then, is the next cause célèbre of the LGBTQ community that is demanding we change our culture and our social mores, and then demand that there are new laws passed that say if you preach against it from the pulpit or you say anything negative about it, you are now guilty of a hate crime and you can be prosecuted? That's all coming, folks, because people have advocated for those things. Now, let me even go a step further. What's next? What's next after that? Bestiality? I'm quite serious, folks. Let's turn to cap and trade. The deal with the devil that the big timber companies made, which, by the way, again, as I explained yesterday, is a series of negotiations that they're engaging in right now to allow the Oregon Forest Practices Act to be amended for whatever they agree on. Has to pass the legislature. Okay, that deal with the devil is just a short-term respite from the timber company's ultimate execution, which is what these people want. It will never be enough. They will always demand more, and we always give ground. This is what Art was saying, folks. Time to stop. No more. You see these signs around called OregonPushback.com? Yeah. There's a lot of people that are sick of it, and we're not going to take it anymore. And people like me that are fifth generation Oregon farmers, I can't move my farm to Idaho. So guess what? I'm going to stand and fight. And you need to also do that. Because I'm telling you here, friends, it's making a difference. This business of timber unity has got the Democrats scared. Believe me, it does. Because the bleed over from that, especially if Republicans walk, and if you read the story today about the bill that got passed out of the Senate Environmental Committee down to Ways and Means, it's the cap and trade bill, 177 pages that they got 24 hours before they had to vote on it. No Republicans voted for it, of course, at a committee. Republicans have to walk to stop that. Because here's the choice, and it's not hard to figure out. Once the Democrats send it out of Ways and Means, to it goes directly to both the House floor and the Senate floor. In Oregon's Constitution, a bill has to be read on the floor three times before it can be voted on. So what we'll have, the first reading is when the bill gets introduced, and then it gets assigned to a committee, and they hear it or they don't hear it. And once it goes to Ways and Means, it's been heard one time. It's been read one time on the floor of the Senate or the House. Goes to Ways and Means. They pass it. It goes back to the floors, and it gets read a second time. Now, you can vote on it. You can read it the third time in the same day if you get unanimous consent to suspend the rules and go ahead and do it. Well, Republicans aren't going to give unanimous consent. So what will happen then, and the way this plays out, is at that point in time, Republicans don't give unanimous consent. They finish the day. Republicans go home. Now, a friend of mine asked me yesterday, so will the state police be shadowing them and not allow them to, well, they haven't broken any laws. They can't. They haven't broken any law to say that a state representative or a state senator couldn't get in their car and go drive to Idaho or Washington State or California or get on an airplane and go fly to Arizona. They'll spend the, you know, the rest of the session in the warmth and the sun playing golf. That would be bad optics, by the way, to play golf, but you get my meaning here. They haven't broken any laws. State police can't stop them from doing that. Now, the next day when they don't show up and they shut the place down, then that can... Those things could be set in motion, but it's look, they're going to be in another state. The Democrats then can do one of two things. They can continue to be embarrassed. In fact, I tweeted about this last night. They can be embarrassed by another Republican walkout, another failure on their part. Or they can put it to a vote of the people. Like the editorial in the Capital Press newspaper, the farm agriculture newspaper, says, put it to a vote of the people. Democrats and Kate don't want to do it because they know they will lose. Folks, they're not stupid. Now, I said this to my friend. Don't ever underestimate Kate Brown. Yeah, she's devious and sometimes she's evil. Yeah, we need to pray for her and pray that her evil plans get stopped. But you don't ever underestimate this woman. She knows they have focused group. She knows they can't sell it to people. Once Republicans and frankly, industries and Democrats, rural people tell emotional stories about how this is going to hurt them, they'll lose it in a landslide, folks. And they know it. That's why they have to ram it down our throats. Republicans have to walk, don't they? Am I wrong about that? What do you think? Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about anything you want. 503-589-1220. Email to Jeff at 1220.am. It's 6:48. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Rich, thanks for just wishing me to have a great weekend. I hope you do, too. And, Rich, I hope you go out and do something special for your lovely bride. And my buddy Lee, do nothing, say nothing is his email to me. By the way, you want to send me an email, it's easy. It's jeff@1220.am. Hey, you know what? Before I read that, I'm going to go to my friend Jake. Jake, good morning. How are you, brother? Hey, Jake, are you there? Well, for some reason, Phil, I can't hear Jake. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're waiting to fix. Okay. All right. Jake left. Hey, Jake, I wish you and Tracy a marvelous Valentine's Day, friend. So Lee's email is this. So I'm amazed that a small group can make such a big stink. These groups that demand to be identified by their perverse sexual desires continue to attack the normal. Over the years, we now see how many of these behaviors are now accepted. So where are the people that stand on principle? Respect the person, hate the sin. There is a quote, and it's by Edmund Burke. Quote, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, unquote. Yes, that is quite correct. We have to take a stand, friends, for what you believe. It's so important. Freedom Heating and Air is a great local company that can help you stay warm this winter. And in fact, if you've got an emergency, you ought to call them because they've got an emergency team that can come out and get your heating unit, whatever it might be, up and running. Why don't you check them out on the air or on the web, rather, freedomheatingandair.net. It's all one word, freedomheatingandair.net. You can depend on them. They're trustworthy. They've been in business here in Salem for 40 years. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, what say you this day?
Good morning. Yesterday, I went to Oregon Citizens Lobby and brought the paper that I've developed concerning the book, Maps of the Ancient Seeking, and the 2 points that I made in the hearings last week. The first point being that that Antarctica was mapped at a time when there was no ice on it. And
no kidding. Wow.
The second point being that the sedimentary cores that have been pulled up from the rivers of Antarctica show that Antarctica was ice-free and the rivers were freely flowing. Three times in history. And so I took the book along and showed people the maps and then took it also around lobbying afterwards. And when we bring a paper like that in, we make 100 copies. And then I asked people at the lobby session. We at noon we all meet and somebody makes a presentation, and I made a presentation after Mike Newman was done making his presentation. Then I asked people to help me with the distribution of these papers, and various people took them, but there were two floors of the house side that were left, and so I started going around yesterday and didn't make it through. I'm about a quarter of the way through the distribution of the remaining ones. So if anybody okay. wants to contact me, and we can work together next week, maybe on Monday, it'd be wonderful to work together with somebody from Oregon Citizens Lobby for that. But this is a very powerful thing, and I've been telling people as I lobby, you know, we still haven't recovered from the hoax that Bill Clinton pulled on us when he did the spotted owl thing and closed down our logging towns. And Oregon has never recovered from that hoax.
That's right. We have it. So many rural communities.
And here we are wanting to do it again. This is going to be way worse. This is going to be magnified worse than the other hoax. And it's going to affect everybody. The logging thing affected everybody, but people aren't terribly aware of it. But the thing that I've been seeing as I talk to them is that they believe that the people believe that the Republicans are the ones causing all of this. They've been indoctrinated with the idea that Republicans are the ones making Oregon bad, and that if they don't pass this, they're going to not do well by the Oregon voters or the Oregon citizens. Or actually the people of the world. They're trying to save the world.
And Rebecca, I got to let you go because we got to move on to somebody else, but that's an excellent point.
Okay.
They believe the lie that we only have so many years left to take dramatic action before the earth becomes uninhabitable, and they're brainwashing little children about that. And it's ludicrous to think that anything we can do here in Oregon, anything, is going to make any difference in the rest of the world, which isn't going to do what we're going to do. It's going to continue. These people are crazy. Let's go to Philip, who's on the line. Philip, good morning.
Good morning, Philip. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to make sure. I get a card from the Oregon Sportsmen Association, bill of interest to sportsmen. Is this bill ongoing? It's labeled SJR201. It banned lawmakers from walking out. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it's still alive. It is. It's probably unconstitutional, first off. And secondly, it's a change in the Oregon Constitution that would remove the quorum. So it would make it easy for the majority to continue their tyrannical actions against and just roll over the rights of the minority. That's what it would do. I think it's a huge mistake. I hope they try it because they'll lose.
Right. It has to be voted on by the voters.
It does. Correct? Yeah. Only we the people can change the Constitution.
Okay. So it probably won't pass
No. What they'll do is they'll send it out to the voters, and we'll vote on it in November.
Oh, okay. And depending on how they word it to the public. If they don't know what it's all about,
there you've hit on an important issue, Philip, because they get to cook the books and stack the deck because they get to write the wording for this initiative rather than the attorney general. And the courts have let them get away with that. Can you believe that?
Let's make sure everybody's aware of that because that's important for the Republicans or whoever needs to be able to walk out.
You're absolutely right, Philip. And I tell you, all the businesses that are going to be destroyed, I mean, industries that will be dramatically negatively impacted by cap and trade, had better help us get the word out to vote no on a constitutional amendment that allows the tyranny to roll over the minority. Philip, thank you.
Be
blessed, all of you. Happy Valentine's Day. Make it a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.